Mediocrity Podcast. Talk about that nerdy stuff. Movies, comics, and video games. It's all good and there ain't no fluff. Brian Kluger is hosting the show. Jeremy Miggert's got jokes. Jonathan Atterbury sounds really handsome, and we all sure love you folks.
Welcome to the Mediocrity Podcast, part of the Multimedia Men Podcast. We are Mediocrity, where the show is just, it's just okay, folks. We're not amazing, we're not spectacular, but we're not terrible either. We're just mediocre. But it's good to be back. We're doing a later podcast than usual in the week, but we have reasons for that. We're going to get into them today. I'm Brian Kluger with BoomstickComics.com. Again, this is the Mediocrity Podcast. Go to iTunes, go to Stitcher Radio, go to our Facebook under the Multimedia Men banner or Mediocrity and search for us and subscribe and tell us how much you love our beards and facial hair and back hair. We'll get to that later on. But joining me, as always, is the fantastic Jonathan Atterbury. How is Jonathan Atterbury today?
Jonathan Atterbury is fantastic today. I'm just going to refer to myself in third person for the rest of the episode.
Oh, God. How have you been, man?
I've been great. I've been fantastic.
I hear that you went off the grid for a few days. Did it turn into a Shining situation?
No, it almost did, but it didn't. So basically what I did is I rented myself a cabin in Big Sur for three nights. So I just went up there by myself, and it's 2 miles off the coast. And once you get off the road, it's a half mile hike to the cabin itself, which is, it's literally just a little tiny cabin. There is no cell signal, no internet, no television, nothing like that. And I just went up there to work on my book and to do some thinking. It was spectacular.
The reason it wasn't a Shining situation is because there was no one there for him to kill.
Yeah, exactly.
He was all alone.
He was all alone. So no cell phone service, no internet, no cable, nothing.
No, no TV at all. So, like, you know, not even watching Friends DVDs, man.
Oh,
well, you look, upgrade.
You look more of a man now.
Do I? I think you mean I look more of a mess now.
were you glad to get back to society in a certain way, to get all back to the grind of it and the electronics and everything?
Not glad to get back to the grind of it in any way. But I mean, I missed my wife. I missed my family. I missed you guys. Missed my dogs. But that was pretty much it. The rest of it was pretty cool, man. I had a great time up there.
Well, good. And then, of course, our amazing host as well, Jeremy Miggert. You've been. We'll just get into it because we have you. You were on a big adventure on the East Coast, I think. How are you? What did you do this past weekend and week? What's going on?
I'm good. I was at Heroes Con over the weekend, and it was a fantastically fun time. That's probably the best comic convention I've ever been to.
So what separates Heroes Con from, like, the normal ones that we usually go to?
The nice thing about it is comics only. So everything is just focused on artists, writers, creators, all that kind of stuff. There's no celebrities, you know, and there's no, like, media stuff there. So it's just really an all comics panel or all comics con. And the nice thing about it is it's just kind of run. This was its 35th year. It's family run by, you know, this group that owns, you know, the kind of big local comic shop. And it's just fantastic.
That's badass. How many people usually go to it, and where is it?
It is in Charlotte, North Carolina. And, oh, man, I don't know. I'd probably say maybe 40,000 people were there over the weekend, I think.
So this is strictly for the comic book fan, like necessarily people who go to, let's say, the big Dallas comic show here or San Diego Comic-Con. They're not going to get all the new movie or TV series information. They're not going to get to see Mark Hamill or William Shatner there. It's just strictly comic book creators.
Correct. No cast members from The Walking Dead.
That's badass. So, I mean, are there pros and cons to both Heroes Cons and the rest of them, or do you think that just for this Heroes Con, it stands on its own in its own category?
I think it stands on its own, honestly. I mean, there's not really any cons to this show. Just because, you know, when you have the other shows, you have so many people that just go, you know, to meet Norman Reedus or whatever. And so you get a lot of people that are just there for celebrities, and then they're walking around and they're hanging out and they're kind of monopolizing time at people's tables and not really looking at stuff. And you don't have, you know, they're looking at stuff but not really there to kind of check stuff out for real. And but in this case, you know, it's great because you don't have that. And you just get to be around tons of other comic creators, and so lots of networking, and pretty much everybody there just loves comics, and so that's the great thing about it, too.
So how did your books go over, and did you make any cool contacts? Did you meet anybody you really love in the business?
Yeah, man, I met a lot of really cool people. My favorite moments of the con was there's a writer-artist I like named Daniel Warren Johnson. He does a book called Extremity for Image. And I kind of know him from the interwebs, and I did some fan art from one of his characters in his new book, and I gave it to him. And then the second night we were there, I was at a drink and draw where we were doing art for charity, and he showed up, and I basically hung out and drew with him for like an hour.
That's great.
And that was pretty badass.
That's really cool.
Yeah.
And everybody seemed – so do like cosplayers go here, or is it
Yeah, more? There's lots of cosplayers.
Okay. All right, so that sounds awesome, Heroes Con. I've never been, but that sounds like the one to go to if you are a comic book creator or are tired of going to the overpriced or crazy San Diego Comic Cons or Big Dallas or, you know, big city comic shows that focus more on celebrities. This seems like you get more intimate setting with your favorite comic book creators.
You should go. Mark Walters is there every year.
Awesome, awesome. I'm sure he's networking as well to get people for his own show.
He runs the Heroes Con auction.
Oh, really?
Mm-hmm. Every year.
Awesome. So did you say hi to him?
I did.
Nice. Very, very cool. Glad he was there.
And then we had the Run DMC rap prior to the auction, which was pretty hilarious and rather unexpected.
So that were they there?
He was there. Daryl was there. Okay. Promoting a comic and hanging out. And then he came up before the auction to talk, and then just out of nowhere, he goes into Tricky and does that. And it was hilarious to watch him run around this room full of middle-aged people and just, like, randomly put the mic in front of them and watch that person be like, Tricky, 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 like, just over and over again. That was pretty funny. That was pretty great. And then he did Walk This Way. But my favorite part about all of it was getting to see it was cool, but the look on Josie's face, who could not have probably been less impressed with the entire scenario, of just like, why the fuck are we watching this? It was great.
She doesn't get Run DMC. They were before her time.
Oh, yeah. She has no idea.
That's so funny. So he's a big comic book guy.
Speaking of not getting Run DMC, I have to chime in here. I told Lauren about Josie not appreciating it, and her response was, who's Run DMC?
Oh, my gosh.
So I was like, oh, yeah, there it is. There's that age gap.
Yeah. It was funny because after Tricky, I was like trying to explain to her, you know, who they were and what their cultural significance. And so I was explaining it with Walk This Way. And as soon as I'm like 10 seconds into explaining it, they just go into the song. And, you know, he's doing basically what I sent you guys in the video, so it was pretty funny.
That's awesome. I mean, that's great that he's a comic book fan.
Yep.
Did he tell you what his, like, comics he reads or anything, or did he get into any of that?
Apparently he's read pretty much everything since he was a little kid.
That's great.
And he was saying that there are comic references and Easter eggs throughout all of the Run DMC music.
So he's like Mr. Glass, except instead of having brittle bones, he's a rapper.
Probably.
Run DMC and Sam Jackson are the same person. Oh, my goodness. Well, I'm glad you had a good time, man. I'm glad you did well up there, and I guess you're going again?
Yeah, I'd like to go every year, man. That was a fantastic convention.
Good, good, good. Well, I'm glad you had fun. Did anybody ask you for what's it called? Oh, my God.
Commissions? Sexual favors?
Yeah, sexual favors and commissions.
I did a couple commissions and no sexual favors.
Damn it. Any weird commissions at this con?
No, nothing really weird.
All right. Well, cool, man. I'm glad you had a good time. Got back safely to do this mediocre podcast. So let's move on to Mr. Atterbury. Minus going to deep into the woods to do whatever you did. We don't know yet. You went to a convention and wrote about it, but you haven't told our audience who listens to this Mediocrity podcast what it was, what you did, and what you thought about. So you went to E3, so tell everybody what E3 is.
So, yeah, I did. I went to E3. What was it? Tuesday, I think I went. Last Tuesday. And E3 is the big video game convention that is held every year. It's basically where all the big developers and all the tech guys and companies are putting out their new games, new products, new hardware, software, all of it. And so they have a lot of demos, things you can check out, whether it's a trailer or an actual game demo, or you can check out the new hardware if they have it available. It's just basically a big, giant video game exposition.
So that seems right up your alley.
It was, yeah.
So tell us what you saw, and like, what was the feel like there? Or was it crowded? Was it cool? Was everybody sweet? Or was it just insane?
It was insane. It was absolutely insane. And it freaked me out, man.
This is why he went to the woods by himself.
Yeah, I had to. It was just to recover from E3. But no, I mean, so basically, there was just it was so crowded and packed in that place that I cannot believe that it was not fully against the fire code. You know what I mean? There, it was just, you were shoulder to shoulder and like chest. You were touching people in every direction the entire time you were there. It didn't seem to matter unless you went out to the extreme edges of the convention center. You were just touching people constantly, and it was awful. I mean, so it was, you know, the problem was it would have been great if there had been half as many people there. Because there were so many people that it was difficult even to see the things that were being shown. So, for example, if Alienware had a new computer out and you could go check out the game that it was playing on it or something like that, you had to kind of fight your way through an ocean of people just to get to it.
How many people do you think were there?
I have no idea. Way too many.
Okay.
Way too many. I mean, there were, like I said, there was twice as many people as I can even imagine should have been legal to have in that building.
Okay.
And yeah, it was difficult because, I mean, you know, like, you know, we've all been to Comic Cons and stuff like that. And if you're walking down an aisle, you're perusing, you're like checking this thing out left and right. You're looking at this stuff. But there were so many people in this place that if you were looking at the right side of an aisle, you couldn't even see the left side, nor could you get to it until you went all the way down the aisle and then hung a U-turn. And then you had to slowly, like, squish your way up through to get to the other things that were on the other side of the aisle.
All right.
So it was hard fucking core. But they did have some moderately cool things being shown at the convention.
Such as?
I am going to say that I think that the press releases were extremely underwhelming for this event. You know, there really wasn't anything that was shocking, like where everyone was just like, oh my God, minds are being blown. You know, the biggest news of the event was the Xbox One X, which we talked about last week on the show. That was really the biggest announcement they had. But I mean, everyone knew it was coming, and it's not even that exciting of a system. It's, you know, it's an upgraded version of the Xbox One. Whoop-de-doo. And then all the other games that they were showing trailers for and demoing, it was all stuff that we have known is coming, stuff that we, you know, we're pretty much well aware of. So, you know, the coolest stuff, I got to see Destiny 2, which looked like a better version of Destiny 1.
Which is good.
Call of Duty World War II looks incredible.
What makes it look incredible? What's different about
the
all the
graphics are incredible, but I mean, if being, you know, it has to be taken in consideration that it was being run on top-notch computers, not on Xbox or PS, you know?
Yeah.
So it looked fantastic, and I was watching people play it, and just the amount of detail that went into the environments, the weapons, the skins, all of it was just incredible. It looks like it's going to be an incredibly fun game.
That's awesome.
Assassin's Creed Origins, it's, you know, Assassin's Creed in ancient Egypt. And I think that the Assassin's Creed games got boring a long time ago. Because, you know, they're just throwing the same, you know, mostly the same setting, or mostly the same game, just in a different setting.
Yeah.
I think people are getting pretty tired of that. Strange Brigade, that's the one that's got my real attention and hopes pinned on it right now.
Yeah, you were talking about that, and I've never heard of it, but you have described it in such a way that really turns me on.
Yeah, man. So, you know, both of you guys, you can check out YouTube demos and all that kind of stuff for Strange Brigade. It's a third-person action-adventure game, but it's multiplayer in the same way that Left 4 Dead was a multiplayer cooperative adventure.
All right.
And so it's basically, you know, 1 to 4 players. It's made to be a multiplayer game. So 1 to 4 players joining forces, and it's set in, like, Indiana Jones era, 1930s kind of stuff.
Cool.
And there's different characters, like in Left 4 Dead, how you couldn't just make your own character and play as whoever you wanted. You had to choose one of the 4 characters.
Yeah.
That's the same thing in this game. So you choose one of the characters, and you're adventuring. You're going through temples and caves and all this kind of stuff, fighting monsters that pop up along the way. It looks like it's going to be a huge amount of fun.
That's awesome.
Yeah. So that was definitely the one that got me the most excited. And actually, you know, there's a game that I had not heard about called Super Lucky's Tale that actually looked like a lot of fun to me. And it's basically a throwback to the days of Crash Bandicoot, Spyro, you know, Mario 64, Banjo-Kazooie, that type of thing. Because in the Xbox world currently, we haven't had anything like that for the Xbox systems, really. It's all been a, you know, a more serious type of gaming, or you know, nothing that really fills that void, I think.
Okay.
But this really looks like it's going to be that type of, you know, fun. You know, it's like a 3D platformer, I guess, is how it would probably be described. But it just looks like a really fun, lighthearted game.
That's awesome. I'm glad to hear that. These all sound great. Now I'm playing so many games right now. You posted a picture, and I don't know if it's out yet, but of this mobile phone Game Boy device?
Yeah, the Smart Boy.
Smart Boy.
The Smart Boy is something that connects to, I believe it was just for the Samsung smartphones.
Okay.
So Android. You basically pop this device onto your Android, and it makes your Android look like a Game Boy, and you can pop in any Game Boy cartridges in the back and play them right on your smartphone.
That's amazing.
Super cool. That was one of the gadgets that I was like, oh, that's awesome. Of course, I don't have an Android, but still pretty cool.
I wonder if Apple will ever get that way.
Probably not.
Do things like that.
Maybe. That's... I mean, I know Apple, you know, Apple and Nintendo have just barely been touching tips lately because they just did the Mario Run thing, right?
For
iPhone.
Yes.
So they're flirting. And maybe we'll get some cool stuff in the future between the two.
Well, yeah, now Apple and Amazon, once bitter rivals, are now coming together to be on each other's systems now, which is great. So
about damn time.
Never say never. I just like the Game Boy, and I like the name Smart Boy. I wonder if they're going to make a system geared towards women and call it Lady Boy. Which would be amazing. But yeah, it sounds like you had a good time. Would you ever go back to one again?
You couldn't pay me enough.
because you just you get freaked out in big crowds like that.
Yeah, it was just too many people. I couldn't enjoy it. There was too much stuff going on. If I could have access to all of that stuff with no people or with way less people, I'd be completely into it. You know, the problem was is all the best games, there was a 2-hour wait to play anything any good. No. So that makes it so you don't really want to do it.
Okay. Well,
I think we just lost Megert.
Did we lose Megert?
I think so.
Oh, he did. We just lost him. What did he say? He just texted us. Wait, Jeremy just exited out of our podcast. The call.
He said he was
dropped.
Really bored hearing about my E3 story.
Yeah, he just was. He said, "Fuck it, I'm out." Let's see if we can get him back in here. Oh, here he goes. Here he is. Oh, there's he's back. Were you just
there? We go.
Were you just tired of listening to Atterbury?
No, you said Lady Boy, and I was just, I couldn't handle it anymore.
So I got to ask.
Like, well, I was like, that's his best joke, so I'm leaving.
Oh, is that, that's it? Be sure to tip your waitresses, folks. So, I mean, I've known you a long time, Atterbury, and I know Jeremy's known you longer. And I've never knew that you didn't like being in large crowds of people. I had no idea.
Yeah, it's not my favorite thing. I like people. I just don't like being in an ocean of them. But who likes that? I mean, does anybody like that? That's not a pleasant thing.
I'm with you. I do not like that. But I guess when I'm at like a con or something like that, I try to really, you know, hone in on just something I want and or want to look at, and I go straight there, and I'm like, oh god, that was a lot of people. Because I've been to even Comic Cons here can be crazy. And
yeah, I don't know. I mean, the Comic Cons that I've been to, I haven't been to that many, but and it's a totally different thing. But when I've gone, I like just being able to take my time and cruise and look at stuff and talk to people. And I like the camaraderie that you find in cosplayers and stuff like that. Whereas this just felt like it was merely there wasn't anything fun happening. I'll put it that way.
Okay.
There wasn't anything fun happening. It was just people trying to show you stuff. There wasn't even that much stuff being sold. So it wasn't like they had a lot of cool shops and stuff like that, like you would find at a normal Comic-Con. It was mostly just commercials.
Okay. All right. Well, I guess that's part of it.
Yep, definitely it's part of it. I understand why they're doing it, you know, but I think most people would just have a way better time watching it on YouTube afterwards.
All right.
That's what I'll be doing in the future.
Well, cool. speaking of we're still in the video game realm here. I want to give an update on Star Wars Battlefront. I've still played and I still enjoy it despite its flaws, but I have enjoyed playing it and leveling up and playing with you guys.
What level are you now?
I have no idea. I'd have to look.
Have you played since you last played with me?
No, but I still want to. Well, I don't think
so. You're really enjoying it.
I am, but okay, there's a reason for that, because I downloaded the new Friday the 13th game.
Oh, how do you like that? Tell me all about it.
Okay, so it has the potential to be so badass. It is such a cool game. So Friday the 13th, the game, was Kickstartered, crowdfunded, and it's a small company. There are issues, yes, and it's issues much like Star Wars Battlefront. And it seems to only be with Xbox One console, not on PC or PS4. Like with such as getting into groups to play or whatnot, it's kind of that same similar feeling. But the game itself is awesome. It is super suspenseful. You can play either as Jason or a counselor. And the environments are badass. The kills are amazing. There's a lot of interaction with all of the environments. It's super scary. Like, so when you play as Jason, you have these abilities to, like, you know, morph to places or see things that the counselors can't, as well as get some really great deaths.
Well, now tell me what kind of game it is. Like, so you can be Jason or the counselors, but what's the structure of the game? What's the point?
So basically, if you're a camp counselor, most people are, you have 20 minutes to survive or escape from Jason before being killed. So the goal of the game is to survive, basically.
Gotcha. So it's kind of like a what's the game mode in Halo where there was one super powerful player and everyone else just had to try to beat that character?
I think, what is it called? Was it called Zombie or Infected?
Colossus?
No, it was like Tank or something like that. I forget.
Yeah. But so it's kind of like that where there's just Jason trying to kill everyone and everyone else just trying, like a team of 10 counselors or whatever that are just trying to not get killed?
Correct.
Can you kill Jason or do you just have to run away from him?
Yes, you can kill Jason and demask him, but it's very difficult to.
Gotcha.
So it's Friday 13th version of Evolve.
I saw something that you shared on Twitter just a few moments ago, and it was a pic of, it said, "This make me laugh out loud this morning, hashtag Friday the 13th game." What is that?
So one of the camp counselors is a guy called Chad Kensington, and he's like the preppy mama's boy who wears a sweater around his neck and his polo. And he's one of the camp counselors, and when the camp counselors get scared when they see Jason, their faces as they're running is very frightened emotion. So this is fan art of that emotion of this guy, and it just cracked me up because it's so over the top ridiculous.
All right. I didn't get it. Thank you for enlightening me.
But yeah, you all start out in different parts of the map, and basically you can you have to find objects either to repair a boat or a car to get out, or you can find a phone, call the police, and if you get to the camp entrance within the certain amount of time when the police get there, you can escape as well. But it's very difficult to survive and escape because Jason is so powerful. And so when Jason is coming to get you, the real music from the movies turns up and you know he's there, and then he can shut off the lights in the house, but the counselors can hide in closets, under beds, all sorts of things, and watch him walk by and hopefully not get killed. But it's really cool. I really love it despite its flaws right now.
Is it now? How much did it cost for you to buy that game?
$39.99.
Is it worth $39.99?
Absolutely. Still with the flaws, it absolutely is.
You're finding it's got good replay value?
Oh yes, it's so much fun. It is very high replay value. You can talk to people. You know, if we get in a party, you can talk to people, and it's if. You know, us three are in a party in a group, and there's like five other players, and one of us is Jason. We could actually help Jason tell where other people are, because after you die, you can switch to any player in the game and follow them and see what's happening, which is crazy, but it's a lot of fun. So games last 20 minutes or until Jason kills everybody. So...
Well, that sounds like a lot of fun. I'll have to check that one out. I have been looking forward to hearing about how that game turned out.
Yeah, and so you get XP for everything, and so you can upgrade your counselors by their agility and ability to repair things and luck and running speed. And Jason can do the same, but with Jason, you can pick what Jason you are through any of the movies, so whatever he looks like. You can pick whatever nice. Jason looks like, which is really cool.
That is really cool.
So, yeah, I highly recommend it. Just even with its flaws, which this company seems to be on top of it. They're communicating with everybody and telling them why, and they're getting it fixed. So it's pretty cool. It's, you know, it's an indie game. You want these indie people to succeed. So,
yeah,
I really enjoyed it. So
nice. So, yeah. I have been playing Injustice 2 lately.
What is Injustice 2 again?
It's the Mortal Kombat, but with DC heroes
that's right,
and villains.
That's right. Is it good?
It is good. I really like it. It's not as deep of a fighting game as Mortal Kombat 10. Mortal Kombat 10 is a incredible fighting game as far as just being very well balanced and having fantastic controls and ability to counter all of that stuff. I think that's a little bit more tournament friendly. This is dumbed down a little bit, but it's still really cool. And for anyone who likes, you know, the DC characters and universe, it's a really fun game.
Cool. Jeremy, you playing anything new?
Oh, man, not really. I haven't had time for any games. I haven't even games since I got back from Heroes Con.
Well, hopefully you'll – hopefully I can convince y'all to either get Overwatch or get Friday the 13th. And I have to say one thing for you Overwatch listeners. New DLC came out today, so there's a new map and new arcade modes, which one of them is Zero Gravity, which is really weird. I played it, and it's interesting. But yes, it's all good. But let's move on from video games. There's other things to talk about, such as, I'm curious to know your thoughts on this, but, some very unfortunate news about, the future Star Wars movie, the Han Solo spinoff, movie, came out yesterday, where the directors were fired from their job, unfortunately, which were Chris Miller and Philip Lord. Or am I getting that right? Is it the other way around? Phil Lord and Chris Miller?
No idea.
Doesn't matter.
But these are the guys that, you know, brought you the Lego movie and 21 Jump Street. They're more of a comedy duo than anything, but they were asked to do the Star Wars Han Solo spinoff movie. They were fired for creative differences.
I heard that they were fired because they were making it too funny. Is that true?
So both Phil Lord and Chris Miller, as well as Kathleen Kennedy, the head of Lucasfilm now, and Kasdan, you know, have given statements, but they're just say creative differences. We wish everybody the best. But inside sources have said that, yeah, I mean, this was Disney's thing. After Force Awakens, they have hired kind of indie filmmakers, you know, to do these Star Wars boots, like Rian Johnson, who's doing episode episode 8. And they just fired these two guys as well. And it's so what I'm hearing is that their style of making the movie is different than what Kathleen Kennedy and Kasdan want. Kasdan, who's written, you know, Empire Strikes Back and Return of the Jedi and Force Awakens, wants a movie made exactly what's on the script. Whereas the other filmmakers, Chris Miller and Philip Lord, or Chris Lord and Philip Miller, I can't remember, kind of have an improv on set. Like, they have a script, but they allow the actors to kind of have fun on the set and, you know, do their thing, you know, for alternate takes. And from what I hear from the first week of shooting, heads were clashing. Nobody in the studio execs didn't like it. So after a while, they gave him the canon. Supposedly, it blindsided these two directors. So I wasn't really excited to see a Han Solo origin story because he's a badass, you know? I mean, I get where he comes from. I don't think I needed to see it, but with Chris Miller and Philip Lord directing, I was excited for it because, like, oh, this would be a new take, you know, even though Han Solo is, you know, supposed to be a scoundrel of some sort, but he's also can be funny. He's sarcastically funny. I think they could handle that. But now they want a safe, boring bet of Ron Howard, who I like Ron Howard, but I don't watch Ron Howard movies more than once. Like, I don't. Like, maybe Apollo 13 I did, or Willow. But other than that, I just think, okay, that movie was okay. It was pretty good. Meh. So they're going with that, or they're trying to go with that now. So what do you guys think?
I will say this. I trust Kathleen Kennedy and Lawrence Kasdan about 10 million times more than I trust those directors that they canned.
I agree with that 1,000,000%.
Well, so I mean,
21 Jump Street is fucking idiotic. It is a trash movie. I'm just going to say that right now. That movie is garbage.
Movie's fun.
And That movie is terrible. That movie is not funny. It's stupid. It's fucking stupid.
You're wrong, sir.
I can't think of a less funny movie that I've seen in the last 10 years. It's awful. And the Lego movie was cool for, you know, it was a funny kids movie, but that, you know, that doesn't translate to good Star Wars movie. I mean, so I'm not that worried about it. I think that if they fired them, they probably did so for a good reason. And if they think Ron Howard will do a good job, I bet he'll do a great job.
No, I think Ron Howard will play by the rules, so to speak. You know, he'll be like, okay, whatever you guys want. Because
I think Kathleen Kennedy is steering the ship for a reason, and she's done a damn good job. And I think that people should just do what she wants.
Well, Kathleen Kennedy has worked with Steven Spielberg since the very beginning of his career. And she's worked her way up, and now she's head of Lucas Studios. And I mean, she knows Star Wars, and Lawrence Kasdan has worked on the originals. I get it. But they're trying to take this approach.
Whoa, whoa, whoa. Lawrence Kasdan didn't just work on the originals, man.
He wrote
two of the three of them.
Okay, there you go. He worked. He wrote them. I get it. But, you know, like so with Rogue One, the guy who directed it, I can't remember his name.
Gareth Edwards.
Gareth Edwards. They went back and they hired Tony Gilroy to do tons of re-edits and reshoots because they didn't like his version of it. So this is a thing. They did the same thing with Edgar Wright and Ant-Man. They fired Edgar Wright because they didn't like his vision.
That's not even the same day.
Really? How's that?
Kathleen Kennedy has nothing to do with the Marvel movies.
Well, it's Disney as a whole.
That's still different people working on different stuff.
Hey, but it's happened in the same movie studio.
Well, either way, Rogue One was fucking
fun. Are those the same movie studio? Is Marvel the same movie studio as Lucasfilm?
Well, they're all owned by Disney.
I would imagine those guys operate pretty independently of one another.
More importantly, who gives a shit who's working on the movie if it turns out to be great and we all love it?
No,
that's how I feel.
I agree. No, I agree. I'm not judging until I see the finished product. I just feel like you have these two directors who could bring something new to the Star Wars franchise, but I guess the studio execs, people close to it, want to keep it, I guess, the same. So they're thinking of people who really, I don't think Ron Howard's had a great movie in a while.
It's been a while since he's had a great movie, but he's certainly capable of doing it.
Oh, yeah. I think, like I said, he's the safe bet. He is the safe bet to do this.
And I think that, you know, honestly, when I heard that the guys that did the Lego movie were doing the Han Solo movie, I was like, really?
It was a weird choice to begin with that made no sense whatsoever. Like with Rian Johnson, it's like he made a little kind of like, he made, what was it called?
Looper.
Looper. It's like that makes sense to give the Looper dude a Star Wars movie. It makes no sense to give the fucking Lego movie guys a Star Wars movie. Or and I enjoy 21 Jump Street, but I would never be like, man, you know what? I want to watch the 21 Jump Street guys make a Star Wars movie.
Because Han Solo has the capacity to be funny, but it's not the same type of funny as you would see in Lego Movie or 21 Jump Street. It's a totally understated kind of funny.
I would give Shane Black a Han Solo movie.
Absolutely. That would be perfect.
See, that sounds good. Saying, I want to watch the 21 Jump Street guys make a Han Solo movie, when you say it out loud, sounds stupid.
But if you think about the Kiss Kiss Bang Bang guy making a Han Solo movie, then you're like, yeah, that sounds incredible. Yeah.
Okay,
so I want to watch Lando and Han Solo interact like that.
The Iron Man 3 guy makes a Han Solo movie.
Well, it's young Han Solo. It's like young Han Solo and young Lando. So
unless they're making a kid's movie, it doesn't matter.
All right. Well, shit. I don't know. It's interesting to see how that worked because, you know, we've seen it with Rogue One. We didn't see it on Force Awakens, but I'm curious to see. Supposedly they're happy with Rian Johnson's stuff on Episode 8, so we'll see what else comes, you know, with everything else, really. So curious about it, but let's hope. I'd imagine within this week we will hear, or early next week we will hear of the new director coming in. So, but the short list is definitely Ron Howard.
Sounds way better to me.
Sounds way better to you. All right.
I mean, plus it's got to be a short list because they need somebody that can start like immediately. So it's not like they have probably have a huge pool of directors to choose from.
Oh, no, absolutely not. I think there was like two or three people that they had in mind. But other than that, I mean, I'd imagine Ron Howard will be the one. But we'll see. I mean, hell, what if Tarantino got the offer? How cool would a Han Solo Tarantino?
No.
Or Kevin Smith. Kevin Smith knows Star Wars like any other person.
No.
I would rather Kevin Smith write a Star Wars movie.
Okay.
I would rather not have him anything to do with it. I am all about Kevin Smith making a new Jay and Silent Bob movie, but Kevin Smith is not good at writing anything that resembles seriousness, and I can't stand most of his non-absolutely ridiculous movies.
Kevin Smith was in The Force Awakens.
Yeah, but so? He's not writing it.
so good. All right. So we'll have more up-to-date news for you when the news is available on this Han Solo project. But they have not pushed back the date yet, which is next year to be released. So we'll see if that happens.
I think really we should just have Ron Howard narrating it, a la Arrested Development.
Oh, how amazing would that be? See, you could have the guys in the
house. Han Solo said everything was all right, but everything was not all right.
That would be so good. That would be so good. All right, let's move on. Jeremy, you might have some Mask of Phantasm news.
I do actually have some Mask of the Phantasm news. The original Batman animated series movie is getting released on the Blu-rays.
I am super excited about that.
That's going to be pretty rad.
So, and that's never been available on Blu-ray, I don't think.
I don't. Actually, none of the animated series stuff has. None of the originals?
Yeah. Because
that's what I'm hoping that this leads to them releasing the animated series stuff on Blu-ray. Because even on DVD, it's like it's every now and then, I think. It's not like always available. It's like it's available in a big box set, and then it goes away, and then you can kind of buy it again later. So I'm hoping that they end up releasing this on this comes out on Blu-ray, and then the Batman animated series stuff follows.
That would be cool. So Warner Brothers, it's going to come out in July. It is going to have both the original theatrical aspect ratio and an open mat 4:3 aspect ratio. There are no word on extras yet or anything else. But I'd imagine they're trying to work up something to get a little bit more than just a bare bones release for this, because this is a pretty cool story. But that is awesome.
I'm looking forward to watching it for the first time. I've never seen it.
Oh, so good.
I think you're going to like it.
I imagine you'll probably get some of the original creators in there for some interviews, like Bruce Timm and Paul Dini. And I'm sure you'll get some Kevin Conroy, possibly some Mark Hamill as well.
Yeah. The only thing on the Blu-ray right now is a trailer for the film that's listed, but hopefully they'll do a big deal for it. I hope so, because there's just so many cool people involved in it. So, well, we'll see. We'll see. And like you said, man, it would be awesome to get the animated series stuff on Blu-ray, because that needs to come out. I'm sure there is a huge market for that.
Yeah. So, I think Amazon Prime is really the only way you can watch it right now.
Yeah, I do agree with that. So maybe they'll work out something. But Warner Brothers usually includes digital copies and everything, so hopefully they'll do that. What else? So I know we talked about the Venom movie last week, but is there any new news with the Venom movie this week?
I read that it was announced that the Venom movie will not be connected to the Spider-Man movie or the Marvel Cinematic Universe in any way.
So that's weird. I am reading now the news that come out, news that just came out a couple hours ago. Carnage is set to appear in the Venom movie. which I think we brought up last time.
Yeah, we did. Yep. We talked about him a little bit.
So, yeah, no, that is confirmed now. Carnage will appear. And, of course, Tom Hardy will star with the Zombieland director Ruben Fleischer directing. But it's weird that they wouldn't include this in the Marvel Cinematic Universe. I mean, I guess if it's just a one-off shoot, sure. But, I mean, it doesn't make sense that you can't have, you know, a cameo of somebody in there, right?
Yeah, I mean it's weird because they're derivative characters of Spider-Man, so it makes no sense to have these characters existing kind of on their own, you know, with big spider symbols right across their chests and them not actually be related to the Spider-Man character. It's super weird. You know, I wonder if it's not being included in the Marvel Universe because I believe this is a rated R movie.
Yeah.
So maybe that might be the reason why, but to me, it's kind of dumb. To me, it just says that they're looking for a way to make money off of the whole, like, rated R comic book movie, and so that's what they're doing.
But wouldn't Disney and Marvel be like, holy shit, Deadpool did so well, even that it was rated R, this will do well too? I don't know.
I don't know. Marvel has said they have no interest in making rated R superhero movies.
Well, I guess that's that. So
Disney's, meanwhile, Mickey Mouse is pointing a gun at their head off camera.
Yeah.
You say you won't make the R-rated movies and you don't want to.
But, you know, the flip side of that, there's not a lot of characters that Marvel has that they could make movies out of that would work. Like a lot of like the Deadpool and stuff like that. Like Fox has Deadpool and the rated R stuff Marvel's doing is already Netflix based. So there's not a lot of other characters that they own that are prevalent that they could probably make a rated R movie out of that anybody would want to go see. There's nobody that I can think of right off the top of my head.
Who owns Blade right now?
I don't know who owns Blade.
That's a great example of something that would be fantastic and R rated, and I'd love to see that worked into the Marvel comics universe.
I think New Line Cinema used to release those, if I remember correctly.
I would wager they probably still own that property then.
So
yeah, whoever owns it, it's unfortunate that Marvel doesn't have that because I'd love to see MCU Blade.
Yeah, me too. So
that'd be awesome.
What I'm reading right now, as for whether or not Spider-Man will make an appearance in a movie featuring two characters who have Spider-Man powers, it remains to be seen. The producer, Amy Pascal, said that she would like to have Venom take place in the world of Spider-Man Homecoming and the Marvel Cinematic Universe, but Kevin Feige is not a producer on Venom, and Tom Holland is only currently signed to do two Spider-Man movies. So that could change, but as Jeremy says, as of now, that is not in the cards, which it's just weird. Like, it's, you know, it's just strange.
They'll basically have to change the entire origin of the story. And it's dumb because he is the coolest Spider-Man villain.
Yeah.
You know, he's kind of like when you look at a lot of Batman villains where most of them are kind of corny and kind of campy, and you really only have a couple that are kind of cool and intense, you know, like you have Two-Face and the Joker. He's kind of like that for Spider-Man, you know. You got a lot of goofy villains, and you have one or two that are actually cool, and he is that for Spider-Man.
No. Well, let's hope.
And then you go ahead and cast Topher Grace as Venom.
I know, right?
He comes back. Ugh, how horrible would that be? All right.
Topher Grace cameo.
Oh, my gosh.
Venom. He's playing Carnage this time.
Mm.
All right, let's move on to Damon Lindelof, the guy who's basically responsible for Lost and a whole bunch of other shit, Star Trek. Is heading up an 8 new HBO TV series of The Watchmen, which sounds pretty cool. I mean, I'm going to be the first to admit, I love Zack Snyder's Watchmen movie. I do. I do.
I think most of us do. That movie's fucking great.
Okay, yep. Good. Good, good, good. Now, do you want to see a TV series with not the same actors in the roles.
If it's good, yeah.
Okay, so you're willing to do like a more or less a reboot of it, or maybe like something that takes place before or after?
Absolutely.
All right, Jeremy, what about you?
I'm down. I'm curious to see if this will be more. They did a like before Watchmen comic series. I'm curious to see if they cover more of the before Watchmen TV series.
So, yeah, it's, I mean, I think it's going to be a straight adaptation from the comic book. I have no idea how they're going to do it, but I'm hopeful. I'm hopeful. And I wonder if Zack Snyder will be in there as a producer, executive producer as well. But hey, if HBO is doing a really cool DC comic book thing, that'd be pretty cool.
This is going to end up being exactly what I wish would have happened with the fucking Inhumans TV show.
Well, back in the mid-2000s or late-2000s, HBO tried to bring Preacher to a series, and it fell through. Now we have it on AMC now, but I wonder – I hope this gets going. I can't wait to see what Alan Moore has to say about it because he hates everything now, so –
He says he does, but I don't know, man. I just kind of feel like that's his shtick.
All right. So, and I seem to remember that HBO actually tried to do a Watchmen TV series several years ago as well.
I think once, maybe even twice, they tried to get it off the ground, but it didn't work out.
But I guess since they have Lindelof, this is not going to be. He's not going to be taking up the slack of those failed attempts. It's going to be completely from scratch and do his thing. So, yeah, I hope it gets off the ground. I think that would be pretty cool to see. So I'm definitely in for it because I like that whole world. And I hope they do a good job of kind of separating it from the film. So I'm definitely up for it. You guys?
Absolutely, man. I think that the movie Watchmen is one of the best superhero movies that have been ever made. And if they can capture even a fragment of that magic, it'll be a fun show.
Nice. All right. Let's talk about our last segment, which is an anniversary of a movie that I think we all hate. I could be wrong. You, Jeremy and John constantly surprise me with what they like and don't like. So, a movie that came out...
I can't believe this fucker is literally trying to spin this like, maybe we're going to like this.
Hey, I like this movie.
On June 20th, in 1997, a little independent film was released called Batman and Robin. I kid, of course, on indie film. This was a huge budget piece of shit. That pretty much everybody kind of agrees with, even the people who made the movie. So this is the anniversary of that movie. It has been out for 20 years. Holy God. This was the Batman and Robin that starred George Clooney as Batman and Arnold Schwarzenegger as Mr. Freeze. Uma Thurman as Batgirl, Chris O'Donnell as Robin.
Uma Thurman was Poison Ivy, man.
No, that's what I meant. Oh, shit. I'm sorry. Uma Thurman was Poison Ivy. Ugh, this movie. I'm sorry, guys. Mediocre. So, do you guys like this movie?
Nostalgically, I love the movie.
See, Jeremy? See?
Dude, all right, that movie came out when I was 11 years old. You got to think of it that way. When I watched that movie in theaters, I was 11 years old, and I fucking loved it. It was new to me. I was at a good age to appreciate it for what was fun about it without looking too hard into it. And that movie gave me my first ever crush on an actress ever. I fell in love with Alicia Silverstone because of her portrayal of Batgirl in that movie, man.
To me, it's really hard to shit on this movie and then be like, I love Batman 66 TV show. You know, I mean, they're both super campy.
Yeah. Batman Forever and the Batman Robin movies were a complete throwback to old super campy Batman. And I think that both of those movies are fun in their own way. I think Arnold Schwarzenegger's Mr. Freeze is hilarious and totally fun to watch.
See, I think this movie I will say that this movie is terrible, but George Clooney as Batman at that time was a great casting. Like, he just got stuck in a bad Batman movie.
And Uma Thurman as Poison Ivy was cool.
No. She had a sort of femme fatale thing to her, but everything else just kind of dragged it down.
The script was awful, no doubt. I mean, it was not a good movie, but I'm just saying that I enjoyed the hell out of it when it was new. And because of how much I enjoyed it, I view it through those rose-colored lenses now.
And it's the same Bane from the Christian Bale movies.
Not true.
The muscly Bane that's just a puppet of Poison Ivy, or in the Christian Bale movies, he's just a puppet of Talia al Ghul.
I like that movie. That
she's pulling the strings.
No, I agree with that.
It's just different ladies.
It was made in a better format than Batman and Robin. My goodness.
When was the last time you watched that movie, Brian?
Probably in the last 3 years, because I own it.
Yeah,
I own it.
I do too,
for sure. Joel Schumacher. It's just. My goodness. So, Patrick Stewart was originally considered for the role of Mr. Freeze. And Billy Baldwin, was considered for the role of Batman in Batman and Robin. So, I don't know if Patrick Stewart probably would have been better, for sure. But Schumacher wanted, like, Mr. Freeze to be just a giant, crazy, strong dude like Schwarzenegger, who got $25 million for that movie.
All right, so Schwarzenegger's portrayal of Mr. Freeze is one of the best acting jobs in modern history. Let's be real here.
You have to explain that.
Did you not feel the emotion coming off of him when he's trying to save his frozen wife?
Was there emotion there?
There was much depth of emotion. And if your heart is too dead and cold in your hairy chest to even feel that stuff, then I'm sorry for you.
I think Batman and Robin serves as what not to do when making a movie.
Well, I think George Clooney could have been a great Batman. Like Jeremy said, he just got put in a questionable movie with a terrible script.
True. So
and Bat nipples.
I think you could take old Clooney now and make a legit true to story Dark Knight Returns movie, and he would be awesome.
Huh. All right. Interesting. I mean, perhaps.
Old 60-year-old, 70-year-old Bruce Wayne. Throw him in that. I think he'd be a great old Bruce Wayne.
That's weird. I don't know.
Chris O'Donnell was a fine Robin. I'm going to go ahead and say that, too. There was nothing wrong with Chris O'Donnell's Robin.
He was a good Robin. I mean, performance-wise, minus Arnold Schwarzenegger, it was okay. It was, from interviews from the movie, on the Blu-ray disc, the actor said, like, yeah, it was crazy on set. Because Joel Schumacher, the director, would yell on a megaphone before each take. Remember, we're making a cartoon. And they're just like, I don't know what to do. How do we do? How?
But I think that vision comes. I think he made the movie he was trying to make. I think that it just doesn't work by modern. Because I remember, like I said, that movie for my 11-year-old brain, I loved it in 1997. But I think that it just doesn't jive with what we expect out of comic book movies nowadays.
Well, it also seemed like it was like, Lucas in the prequels of Star Wars, where he was just trying to hawk toys. It was one big commercial for toys, characters you can buy as toys soon, which I thought
I wouldn't say that it was made for that purpose. I think that it happened to work really well for that purpose. And I think that was good marketing.
No, those things go hand in hand, man. There's so many animated TV shows that get canceled because toys don't sell well.
I had a lot of the toys, man. I can think of I had the Arnold Schwarzenegger Mr. Freeze action figure, you know, and it was awesome. I loved that shit.
But make a good movie, though. You could make a good movie and still get cool toys.
But that's the thing is, like, that movie, I think, was made for boys in the 10 to 14 year old age range or whatever that age range, the target age range was. I know that I went to see that movie. It was like my 11th birthday party. I went to see that or something like that. And it just blew my mind. I loved it so much. It was such a huge hit. My friends and I all loved it. It worked for us. Maybe it wouldn't have worked for a 30-year-old man, but for an 11-year-old boy, it was perfect.
A lady boy?
An 11-year-old boy.
Oh, okay. yeah, it's very, very weird. And so, I mean, the Batman and Robin was made for $125 million, which is a lot for 1997, and it made $238 million, which was not even doubling its profits. But Warner Brothers wanted Joel Schumacher to make a fifth film, and they were going to call it Batman Unchained. But that got canceled for sure. So,
It's hard to me that you can say that you appreciate a movie like 21 Jump Street and shit so hard on Batman and Robin.
It's because Batman and Robin is one of the worst movies ever made. 21 Jump Street is stupid, yes, but so much fun, and you laugh from start to finish. It achieves its goal. Batman and Robin does not achieve its goal at all.
If Joel Schumacher was yelling at the crew the entire time, "We're making a fucking cartoon before every take," and he made a movie that was cartoonish and campy, then he made the movie he was trying to make too.
Terrible, terrible. That's when Warner Brothers should have stepped in and be like, "This is shit."
I disagree. I think that it achieved the purpose it was trying to achieve.
When has Warner Brothers ever done that, though?
Warner Brothers ever done what?
Stepped in and been like, "This is shit." All they do is be like, they say that behind closed doors, and they're like, "All right, let's get out the fucking marketing checkbook here."
No, they did that with the Hobbit ones, because they were gonna Guillermo del Toro was gonna make the Hobbit, and they stepped in and were like, "Nope. You're out. Bring back Peter Jackson."
Let's have him make a really shitty movie. Exactly. Whatever you were going to do that might have been okay, we're going to fuck it up even worse.
They fucked it up. They were like, "We got to do it the same shit as Lord of the Rings. We'll do three movies in 3 years." It was like, oh, God. So that sucked. But, yeah, they've done that. Every studio's done that. But it's Batman and Robin is so, so bad. And it's been a few years since I've watched it, but I own the movie on Blu-ray. It's part of the whole Batman collection. And I did watch it because I like to watch it because, you know, taste changes over time. But yeah, it's still so bad. It literally is watching a toy commercial or like, you know, just set up, boom, Mr. Freeze is going to look cool in toy form, or just like the horrible cheesy dialogue and just everything bundled into one movie.
So it's a kids movie.
I don't even think kids like that movie.
I am telling you firsthand, I was a kid and I loved that movie.
I was 16 or 15 when this movie came out and I hated it. I remember hating it. I'm like,
I think that you were probably a little too old for it.
It definitely was a kids movie.
When you're 17, you don't like the same stuff you did when you were 11. You know what I mean? Nobody does.
Well, okay, so like Cars 3 just came out, and it's not getting good reviews, and kids are not liking it. And that's a kids movie.
I haven't read any kids reviews for Cars 3.
No, okay. Good point. Oh, man. Yeah, but we would like to hear your thoughts on. So, Jeremy, do you like Batman and Robin? Because it seems like our friend Atterbury likes the movie.
I'm not sitting here saying it's a great fucking movie. I'm saying that I, when I was fucking 11 years old, I liked the movie. And because I enjoyed it so much when I was 11, now I can't shit on it too hard because I did enjoy it a lot at one time. Fuck.
So I do not like the movie. You're saying you like the movie.
But it was not made for me because I was not a kid when it came out.
Yeah, Jeremy was like 30.
Yeah. Two.
Oh, it's so funny. So I don't know. I don't know what to do. It's crazy. It's crazy, crazy, crazy. But if you ever want to watch Batman and Robin, you can. And let us know what you think about it, either after all these years or as your
You have time. Brian's permission to watch a movie that's been out for 20 years.
Yes. Yes, you do.
He will allow it.
I will allow it. But that's our show for today, for this week. We will be back next week, of course. But that was a fun show, guys. It was a good one. We had a few laughs, some blood, some tears. But it was good.
Man, it's been like 3 episodes since you said that.
Oh, well, thank you.
I was wondering when it was going to come back.
What? A good show?
No, the blood and tears and laughter.
Oh, all right. Well, it's back now. Don't call it a comeback. Oh, I love Mediocrity so much. We are Mediocrity on iTunes and Stitcher Radio. If you go to iTunes and type in Multimedia Men, you'll find it. Just download it. Subscribe to us. We love it when you subscribe. And next week, we will be talking about the War of the Planet of the Apes, War for the Planet of the Apes, and Baby Driver, because I am seeing those this week. And we'll have some updates for you on those, as well as everything else. Anything else, lastly, you guys want to say?
I did happen to go see It Comes at Night.
Okay. Quickly, and how is your review of it?
Quickly, I will say that I loved it. I thought it was incredible, and anyone who likes movies should go see it.
So scary in not your conventional way, right?
Yes, terrifying, but just not in the way that we're used to being scared.
Sweet. And Jeremy, anything lastly?
No, man, I'm good.
All right, cool. And my last thing I want to say is that Jonathan Atterbury loves Batman and Robin. Mediocrity, guys. We love you.